Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Howdy, listeners from coast to coast, the Gulf to Canada, and around the globe. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Big show for you today. You know, over the last 8 plus or minus weeks, and I really urge you to listen to those shows if you did not. Any of your podcast apps will get you in there. You can go to the website, listen on the website, on therightsideradio.com. But I've brought you kind of the history of treason, you know, and treason relative to election fraud. Even though the elections are the fairest and the most secure on the entire planet forever in the history of mankind. And I have brought you a series on financial preparedness, right? The security of you, your family, your property, which is a little adjunct I've done for you over the last 8 weeks. The attack on private property rights, which, by the way, is relentless and ongoing, as is the attack on your finances. Understand this. The middle class is the enemy of the state. That's correct. Because the middle class is that segment of the population that can stand on its own 2 feet, that has some resiliency, that kind of understands, for the most part, self-reliance, and understands the values of this country. Hard work, ambition, opportunity, success. And that, folks, those concepts are the enemy of the state and the enemy of the globalists, which this illegitimate government that is currently in power in the United States is part and parcel of, you know, kind of shoulder to shoulder, holding hands with Klaus Schwab and the rest of the Western world who envisions this utopia where you are the serfs and they are the masters. They own everything. You own nothing, right? You will own nothing and you will be happy. Uh-huh. Okay. And the economic squeeze that's going on in the United States that's being masked by a corrupt and complicit media. I mean, they are so corrupt. They are so complicit. You know, this whole bloodbath thing, you've heard about it. I'm not going to spend time in the limited time I have with you each week going over it. This is just an indication of everything. Let me underline this. Everything they tell you and everything they do. And every contrivance that they can twist into a narrative that they think is helping their chosen globalists and totalitarian-leaning governments and government workers and government agencies. And over the last 8 weeks, as part and parcel of what I've been trying to ring the alarm bells for you, you know, kind of a Paul Revere here. We've talked about the attack on private property rights, and the attack is relentless. I've given you some examples over the last 8 weeks. I have told you about the inverted pyramid, right? The federal lands and the state lands in blue states at the top of this inverted pyramid, and how they control resources and air and energy and water, and then how they're compressing that control all the way down. I have some great little anecdotes to tell you today. And what I'm going to do today, kind of unusual for this show, but I think it ties right into the last 8 weeks, kind of a great summation, although unfortunately I'll be bringing you lots of this ongoing stuff as we move together into the future of the United States and the world, whatever that may be, and I guess that's up to us. But over the last 8 weeks, as I've been bringing you this information so that you can digest it and you can ponder it and you can plan as you should as a sovereign being with unalienable rights, how you're going to handle it, how you're going to prepare for it, how you're going to thwart their dark and sinister desires. Because today I'm going to go over a whole bunch of stories. You can kind of call it a jumbo rat-a-tat-tat, but almost all of them are focused around immigration, which is all part of this plan, and surveillance, which is all part of this plan, and control, and private property rights, and the attack on your finances, which is in concert with the attack on your private property rights. They are inextricably intertwined, you know. But we're going to be covering, and this is just a taste of what we're going to go over in this show. And then, you know, they're not talking about Ukraine. Things are blowing up over there, folks. I mean, it is a complete friggin' mess. And not a peep on the mainstream media. Did you know French troops are going into Ukraine? I'll bring that to you. And then, along the private property rights deal, I'm going to bring you some updates on some restrictions that various towns and municipalities, primarily blue towns and municipalities and blue states, gee, is there a pattern here? What they're doing to undermine your ability to rent your property, to collect money from your tenants, and, you know, to use your property as you deem fit, particularly when it's really not harming a hair on the head of anybody else, except the control, except that they want to use your property and your property rights to buy their votes. That's really what it's all about. And did you know that Oregon is now attacking small farmers? Oh, that's right. Wait till I bring you this story. I mean, particularly my audience, your eyes should open wide. Listen carefully to what's going on in Oregon as they fine and snap fees on small farmers for livestock production and agricultural or garden production or the sale of any of those commodities. I'm not tell you a little about what's happening with censorship here right in the United States because it's overt. I mean, they think it's hidden. I'll tell you what, folks, check your spam file. Like, really, right now, if you're listening on the web or live streaming from one of the stations, or when the show's over, if you're listening on AM stations around the country, you will be shocked, and you should be checking it every other day because anything and everything having to do with conservative is in your spam file. Anything and everything having to do with raising money for the election for conservative candidates is in your spam file. You aren't even seeing it in your inbox. And we're going to talk about Google and how to get out of the clutches of that dark and evil company. And it is dark and it is evil and it is bound hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder, hand to hand, heart to heart, mind to mind with what can only be described as an out of control, run amok, illegitimate government. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Biden budget. I don't know if you've heard too much about this, but it will shock you. And the taxes that he's proposed, $4.7 trillion in new taxes. Folks, the Treasury raised under the current tax structure just about that much, between $4.5 and $4.7 million this year. So what they're really telling you is they're going to hike taxes in all sorts of ways on all sorts of things, but particularly on you, middle class, you know, that squeeze we were talking about to get you folks under control, to put you under their heel, to grind their thumb into your financial eye and the heart that beats freedom within your body and your soul. And we're going to talk about the Trump lawsuits. You know, I really think this will be fascinating for you because everybody kind of talks about them on the periphery, particularly the mainstream media. I mean, they're unbelievable. I'm going to bring you kind of the nitty-gritty of virtually all of these BS conjured, in some cases, flat illegal, absolutely unconstitutional complaints against Trump and where he sits and where the court sits and where the case sits and where the prosecutors sit and what is likely to happen. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a layman who can add 2 + 2 = 4. And I think it's really important because we have a very uncertain election coming at us in a whole bunch of ways. And I'm going to bring to you a thought that probably you haven't thought about. I've been really pondering this the past few weeks. I think there's a really good chance that in the first election, presidential election, after 1807, remember that historical story I brought you last week, Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr? You could see this election decided in the House of Representatives. That's right. Neither candidate, neither of the two major candidates, might get the 270 electoral votes they need to clinch the presidency. Wouldn't that be fascinating? I'll explain to you my theory and the possibilities in this show, and the uncertainty that that will breed in the markets. And as an aside, in our financial preparedness series that I've brought you over the last 8 weeks, again, on therightsideradio.com, listen to them at your leisure. Listen to them while you're working in the barn or you're working in your office. Listen to the last 8 shows. Please. It will help you. It'll help you a lot or it'll help you a little depending upon just how awake you are to all these, shall we say, daggers being thrown at your head by people who really don't like you and really don't care about you and really kind of wish you didn't exist. And as part of that financial preparedness series, I've been bringing you some alternative investments, which may, let me underline may, I'm not your financial advisor, I'm not your CPA, I am not your lawyer. I am bringing you ideas to discuss with people that you trust or with your family that you can act on or not act on. as you decide. You know, free sovereign citizens. But one of the things I told you about over the last 8 weeks was the possibility of looking at some precious metals to safeguard against the debasement of the currency, which is ongoing and accelerating. And I don't know if you follow those markets at all or not, but over this last week, gold breached $2,200 an ounce. In fact, it's breached about several new all-time highs over the last month. You might want to look at it. And silver is beginning to recover from its doldrums, which most sophisticated traders, you know, this is not my gig, folks. I'm a land guy. Most sophisticated traders that I listen to think is totally contrived and totally manipulated, kind of by all sorts of big banks, you know, and countries, and big banks in concert with countries, including the United States government. Because when you have to buy a lot of silver for defense, or you need to buy gold for your central bank to protect yourself against the dollar, you want the prices to be as low as possible. And one day, I'm just going to throw out this thought, that's all going to collapse. There's going to be new markets opening up in the BRIC countries and new exchanges. If you get a chance, Google up the Shanghai Metals Exchange, which is growing by leaps and bounds. Sure, the BRICS don't have the capital the United States has yet, but think about what happens to the COMEX, which is kind of the commodities market for the Western world, at least for the United States. Think about what happens when all this gets revealed, all this gets uncovered, and markets are being set by exchanges in the BRICS world. Where do you think traders are going to go? I wonder if COMEX has thought about this. Could be very interesting times ahead. And now, let's get into our founder's quote for today, which, given our monster rat-a-tat-tat tied into all these things I've been telling you about over the 8 weeks, real-life examples which will make your eyes bug out, let's go over our founder's quote for the day, and then our rant story, and then into the meat of the matters at hand. So for our founder's quote today, how about George Washington? You know, kind of the father of our country, the first commander of the American Army, the first president, and probably the only person on the entire planet who turned down at the end of his presidential term the proffer by the Congress of him remaining in office and being king. Quote, "The time is now near at hand which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die." Unquote. I'd say that that's about where we're at, don't you think, folks? You bet. And now for the ranch story. This story is not so much about the ranch. It's really about my observations on a recent trip I took to visit some relatives. And on the way back, I made two kind of key observations. I was traveling through Colorado, which is, you know, you folks down there, wow. That's all I can say is wow. What's going on? And I'm not one of these jump up and down Costco members. Maybe I get there 5 or 6 times a year. It's really to buy supplies in bulk for whatever's coming up or whatever I want to ensure will never be coming up. But my observations, number one, coming through Colorado. Now here's what's unfortunately a deep blue state that used to be a red state. It was turned to the dark side by Barry Obama, very cleverly. You got to give the devil his due. And my observations of that state, which is a fairly wealthy state and a fairly young state, and a state which all the blue pundits say kind of demonstrates the best physical epitome of America. You know, it's the most healthy bunch of people, the most active bunch of people. And while that may be true for part of the Colorado population, I don't think it's true for the majority, unfortunately. My first observations coming through Colorado was, number one, the traffic was absolutely unbearable. Unbearable. So here's a state which has money. It has relative youth in this aging demographics that we call the Western world, actually the world overall, and particularly the United States. It has supposedly these far-seeing, these prescient, these such intelligent leaders, you know, in the state house down there in the legislature, which is, by the way, majority blue, like super majority blue. And then the governor's mansion, which is, you know, it's bluer than blue. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal, and obviously I've done a pile of research on this little series of personal financial preparedness I'm bringing you. And in doing so, I looked at a bunch of precious metal dealers. There's a bunch of them out there. Some are very good, but I think one of the very best, BBB, A-plus rated, five-star rated, is Harvard Gold Group. They have a terrific private direct delivery program, your house, your business, your investment accounts. They can help you set up your investment accounts to hold these metals. I negotiated, by the way, a $250 discount on your first order through them, which I think is kind of cool. And they have a lowest price guarantee, whether it's gold or silver, and they will be happy to talk to you about that and how it works. So call them, 844-977-GOLD, or go to their website, harvardgoldgroup.com, and use the code REID, Reed, that's me, to get your $250 discount and some other goodies.
Threads West, An American Saga, is the number one national Amazon and Barnes & Noble best-selling epic saga, recipient of 37 national literary awards. Written by rancher Reed Lance Rosenthal and serves in part as the inspiration of the acclaimed 1883 miniseries. The sweeping Threads West epic saga is our American story. Beginning in May 1854, men and women from America and Europe, England, Ireland, Norway, Denmark, Italy, and Prussia, an Oglala Sioux family, a Ute Indian family, a Spanish vaquero chased north by the Texas Rangers, an elderly black couple setting their life sails for the winds of freedom, a renegade you will revile, and an American trapper you'll love. Men and women of uncommon cultures, differing origins, competing ambitions, and their weave of the American cloth in the West. Alexandra Brown, Romantic Shorts, says, Reed Lance Rosenthal has outdone himself. Rosenthal's characters just blew me away. They are as real, if not more so, as most of the people I have ever met. Get it now. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Nook, Audible, or from the publishers, ThreadsWestSeries.com.
And what I observed is the roads, including, by the way, the interstates, and I was on I-25, are a bumpy, rutted, damaged piece of mess. I mean, there are places in those roads, even where you can't see fissures, cracks, and holes, where the pavement is so uneven that literally you can't drink from your coffee because the coffee will spill into your lap. Oh, then you can sue McDonald's. And I pulled into a service station that had fairly cheap diesel and went to use the pump. And guess what? The pump wouldn't take my card. The lady on the other side of the pump had the same problem going. The pump was out of service. I pulled into another service station, and all the diesel pumps had kind of yellow cloths over them, you know? In other words, out of service? No, they weren't out of service. They were out of diesel. And then on at least three occasions, I passed road crews working on the highways. Each crew had two trucks. Each crew had 3 to 7 people. In each crew, only one or two of the people were doing anything. And that was pretty much like shoveling loose gravel from the side of the road out over the embankment. You know, not any place anybody would drive. It just kind of, I don't know, make work. And of course, at those places, there were bottlenecks. 3-lane highway, very crowded to begin with, was bottlenecked down to 1 lane, where everybody sat while their engines idled. You know, what about that global warming? Oh, we're going to talk about the global warming, folks, because there's some stats out. I mean, all these people who talk about this, the hottest year on record, these people are all, this is psyops. That's all it is. Wait till I share that with you here in what's upcoming. And then I noticed that all the cars, not all the cars, you know, Colorado used to be pretty much a state of pickup trucks and four-wheel drives. And yes, there's four-wheel drives now. They're sporty SUVs with ski racks and all the accoutrements and fancy dangles. But there is a plethora of little weird-looking cars and EV cars. And, I mean, first of all, they're just flat ugly. I mean, gag me. Although I am a pickup man, I will admit. And they buzz around on the highways like little ants going to their daily practices, piling their little piece of sand on the ant mound. It was, I can't really tell you about the feeling it evoked. It was a feeling of, how do I term it? It was a feeling of disdain for where society has evolved. And along the way, there was not a lot of new construction other than on the commercial side. but sprawling subdivisions that have been recently built. By recently, I mean in the last 2 to 6, 7, 8 years, and literally have taken over entire farms and ranches for as far as the eye can see with seemingly identical cookie cutter houses. Depressing in my mind. And I'm not degrading that lifestyle. If that's what your lifestyle is, if that's what you like, if that's what you can afford, if that is your stepping stone to whatever you in the end desire, then, you know, good for you, because that puts you way ahead of a whole bunch of other people, unfortunately, around the planet, in the Western world and in the United States. But nonetheless, to see the land destroyed by this sprawl, and how the sprawl contributes to the traffic, and how the increase in population contributes to the increase in government workers, kind of like what we're seeing on the federal side. We're going to get into that in the economic section, too. It was just depressing. It occurred to me that many of these people are not awake. I mean, they really don't have a good sense of what is real and what is not. And they really don't have a good sense of where we really are as a country, as a planet, as a civilization. And the only thing I was left to wonder as I drove back to Wyoming, crossed the state line and the traffic dissipated to one car every 5 miles, oh, it was great, was whether or not those people, the great majority, not everybody, whether or not those people even want to be awake, if they even want to know. And that, folks, particularly in the context of George Washington's quote, is what worries me more about the future of this country than anything else. How many people will muster? How many people know? How many people know they don't know and want to know? And in the end, can the awakening of enough people to stop and reverse what's going on here and throughout the world, will that happen in time? Will it be faster paced? Will they run a faster race than those powerful, hypocritical, fraudulent, and traitorous control freaks who illegitimately run things now? Will they outpace those people, the elites, in position of controls and censorships, which will shield them, shelter them, and take from them, perhaps forever, the ability to get the information to awaken? Something to ponder. So, for the rest of this show, we're going to go into this monstrous rat-a-tat-tat, and I'm going to organize it for you so it's easy to follow. I'm going to remind you, we have some great, I'm not going into it today, some great new COVID studies, COVID articles, articles on the spike protein, what you can do about that, etc., on the COVID page. That is the COVID page link, upper right-hand corner on therightsideradio.com. You can read them at your leisure. And virtually everything I'm going to be talking to you about today is a video or an article or more than one on the various tangents of the website. Rat-a-tat-tat, family safety, under the audio bar if they're particularly striking, or whatever the apropos category happens to be. And I urge you to read them, because obviously I can't get into every single detail, nor can I bring you every single story that I would like to bring you. But don't worry, I'll be bringing you enough. And I'm going to organize it in this way. First of all, the things about private property, the attacks on private property just over the last 8 weeks while I've been bringing you this series. The economy, this nonsense they're throwing at you. I mean, you know, just this week alone, oh, manufacturing is up and employment is up and unemployment is down and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. I'll give you the facts. You decide for yourself. And it's the squeeze on the middle class, folks. They don't want you awake. They want to suck you into the hole and then cover it with dirt. And they can't do that if you know what's really going on. And then we're going to have a few things on immigration, which really points to the judicial system, which is the rule of law, which ties into the segment I'm going to bring you on what's going on with the Trump trials, so that hopefully you better understand them and you better understand what could happen in those cases. And I'm going to expand on that just a little bit about what this could mean for the election, because it's going to make you scratch your head. And finally, if we have time, we'll get into the international. If we don't, I have several videos on the website under international family safety, and one or two cases, I believe, under the audio bar where the producers have put them, which will bring you up to speed on some really nasty events over in Europe and Ukraine, which, gee, the mainstream media seems to be ignoring. And there's a reason for that, which, if we get there, I'll be able to explain to you. So let's get started. All right, let's start off with property rights. But let's give a foundation to this. Climate change. you have heard everybody wailing about incineration 9 years from now, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And particularly this year, it's the warmest year, you know, on record, and oh, so on and so forth. Look, folks, they've only been keeping records for a while. They do know that climate has been changing forever, like since the beginning of the earth. It gets dry, it gets wet, it gets warm, it gets cold. Regions vary. The ocean's warm and cool. There's La Nina and El Nino. It is what it is, been that way for millions of years. And as I brought to you 2 years ago, when there was a big Tonga eruption out in the Pacific, you know, that huge volcano that spewed, I think it was 700 million tons of water into the upper stratosphere, the largest injection of water vapor into the stratosphere that we know of. And I told you that that would have a warming effect. You know, this is not my science. This is scientists' science. Well, it now comes to pass that there are now studies, you know, science, that science thing they like. There's now studies that show that all the global warming, quote-unquote, this year, and the high temperatures this year are a result of that Tonga eruption and the remaining water vapor in the stratosphere, which, of course, acts as a blanket and as a refractor. And additionally, you have the changeover from El Nino to La Nina and back to El Nino over the course of this year, which also comes up with higher temperatures at certain latitudes. So everything is explained. Rather than me going into details, that stuff is on the website for you. Read the studies, listen to the videos, particularly Don Day's video, because he does a beautiful job with maps and everything else, and you'll see what I mean. But the climate change is their guise, their cloak, for getting other stuff done, right? In the future, for declaring emergencies to lock you in your house and put you in a smart city, etc. And, you know, to stop agriculture and cow farts and the rest. Well, climate change is being blamed for water matters. And, you know, look, droughts come and go. Wet periods come and go. Up in Oregon, this is an amazing story. So all sorts of small little farms up in Oregon, you know, a half an acre to 5 acres. They grow produce for the community markets. It is the subsistence primarily of that small landowner. Many of these landowners have goats and chickens and do milk and eggs and all sorts of things like that, which is great for the community, great for the food supply, and great for the property owner. It's also a property right. Well, guess what they're doing up in Oregon? Blue, blue Oregon. There is a correlation here, folks. Let's take Oak Song Farm. This is off the Lorraine Highway near Eugene. It just has a half an acre of agriculture. The owner's name is Del Campo, and she's been using well water to grow vegetables, which she sells at farmers markets to her neighbors, etc. Quote, "It's like a convenience store," said Del Campo. "People can stop in. I can see a lot of people on Sunday mornings to grab fixings for breakfast," unquote. Last September, Del Campo gets a letter from the regional office of the Oregon Water Resources Department. It was a notification that the farm could no longer irrigate its quote-unquote commercial crops without a water right. And we can get into the weeds on water rights. Decreed water is water that comes out of a stream. You can take a certain amount at a certain time of year at a certain rate of flow. Well water is a different thing. It's an aquifer right. And then there's storage rights, which is water in ponds and that reservoirs and that kind of thing. But water is a publicly owned resource in Oregon, as it is, by the way, in most states. Not all, most. And that means that property owners need, oh, government approval for its use. Huh. Gee, what could go wrong here? And Mike McCord, he's the Northwest Region Manager with the Oregon Water Resources Department. You might want to Google him. It's kind of interesting. Quote, "The system of appropriation," that's the priority usage of water by various users in any state, "has been in place since 1909 in Oregon. It allows us to better manage the resource by having a permitting system for which, folks, you pay fees and inspections and all sorts of things. And there's exemptions. So like folks who don't have a water right, you know, you don't have a right to take it out of the creek, let's say, they can use up to 5,000 gallons a day from a well for a commercial or industrial purpose. However, big however, that doesn't include irrigation." Imagine that. She uses, by the way, Del Campo at her little farm, about 1,000 gallons a day for agriculture. That's it, 1,000 gallons a day. And she was one of not only, but 24 owners who got letters in September in her immediate area. There are hundreds of letters sent out to hundreds of small farm owners around the state last year, and they're still going out. And McCord, you'll love this. This gets into our surveillance thing later on in this, shall we say, comprehensive rat-a-tat-tat. McCord says that they use aerial photography, complaints from neighbors, and in-the-field observation to find violations, and that the new funding in 2021 has allowed the state to hire more staff for enforcement. Oh, it kind of sounds like $87 billion for the IRS. You know, it's all the same in these blue-minded governments. By the way, Del Campo is a licensed small farmer. She got a license from the state, for which she paid fees, of course. And they never said to her that she couldn't use her well, although that's on the application as the water source. By the way, the state officials who are in charge of, you know, safeguarding this water and saving the public say that a typical application like the one Del Campo now has to do to use the creek on her property will take more than a year if it's approved. If it's approved. So bottom line is you can spend 12 to 18 months and thousands of dollars and then be told that your business is going to be shut down anyway. In the meantime, you'll just love this, because only a government could come up with this. Del Campo can still irrigate a half an acre for non-commercial gardens. In other words, she can irrigate a half an acre to stuff her pantry with, but she can't sell it to other people who might need the food. And then I found it really interesting. This Morrison character at the state, I'm going to quote this. Quote, "We are facing a water scarcity reality," unquote, "due to climate change," unquote. "There are changes that need to be made to the system, but they end up having greater consequences for the smallest players in the food system," unquote. Folks, listen to my shows on private property rights over the last 3 weeks. That's all I can tell you. And by the way, the Oregon Water Resource Department is now proposing yet new rules designed to preserve groundwater. And this McCord guy, he says that's probably going to make it even harder to obtain new water rights. Then we have, let's take Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe is a blue, blue city in a blue state. And I've told you in the past about these regulations they're trying to cram down the throats of property owners, where they can't have B&Bs and they can't have vacation rentals. And, you know, as I told some of the owners down there who contacted me, you better fight this at inception. You better drive a stake through its heart from the very beginning. Because if you give in an inch, once that's done, they're going to keep coming at you. And you know what? That's exactly what's happened. Very cleverly, Santa Fe has divided the rental owners into like three classes. Number one, the long-term rental owners. Number two, the short-term rental owners who do not live in their residence when they're not renting it, less than 6 months a year. And number three, the short-term rental owners who do live in their residence more than 6 months a year, i.e. rented out short-term or long-term for less than 6 months a year. That way, they get groups that kind of, you know, they give a little bit to one group and that group goes, oh, well, you know, we're taken care of, so we can kind of get out of the fight now. And then they focus on the other groups, divide and conquer, the old communist way. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal, and obviously I've done a pile of research on this little series of personal financial preparedness I'm bringing you. And in doing so, I looked at a bunch of precious metal dealers. There's a bunch of them out there. Some are very good, but I think one of the very best, BBB, A-plus rated, five-star rated, is Harvard Gold Group. They have a terrific private direct delivery program, your house, your business, your investment accounts. They can help you set up your investment accounts to hold these metals. I negotiated, by the way, a $250 discount on your first order through them, which I think is kind of cool. And they have a lowest price guarantee, whether it's gold or silver. And they will be happy to talk to you about that and how it works. So call them, 844-977-GOLD, or go to their website, harvardgoldgroup.com, and use the code REID, Reed, that's me, to get your $250 discount and some other goodies. Hey, listeners, this is Reed Lance Rosenthal, your host of On the Right Side Radio, and I have a message for you. Do you want a business? Sell a product? Provide a service? Have a message you want to get out? Do you believe in freedom, the Constitution, and America? Here's your opportunity to reach 69 million sets of ears in scores of markets around the country, including 5 of the top 10 and 15 of the top 50 markets in the United States of America. Very affordable, very flexible, 30 and 60 second packages available. Give your business a boost and help America get the truth. Call Francis at Media Airtime at 602-300-8250, 602-300-8250, or write Francis at MediaAirtime.com. That's Francis at MediaAirtime.com. Thank you. Well, it seems that Santa Fe has now, shall we say, put a new layer of restrictions on the ones that they've proposed, which are being fought in court, by the way. The landowners, the property owners, lost at the district court level. It's now on appeal. But Santa Fe has decided that not only do we have these restrictions on your right to use your private property rights and to derive an income from your private property and to use it as you see fit, but you can only have one rental property. That's it, one. So if you are in Santa Fe and you have more than one rental property, you're kind of SOL. Secondly, they've said that if you live in the property more than 6 months a year, you can have certain exemptions. Of course, they don't say they're perpetual exemptions, which means down the road when the other groups stop fighting, they'll come after you and say, well, you know that exemption we gave you that was good for 5 months a year for rental? Well, we're gonna reduce it to 1 month, or we're going to reduce it to nothing, or we're going to reduce it to 1 week. This is just the way it goes, folks. You can count on it. And of course, those folks that have like a, what's called a casita down there, like a little second cottage on their property, well, they're okay. They're exempt in the casita, so long as they don't break the rules in the main house, but, you have to bring the casita completely up to the Santa Fe code, which is, oh, I'll be kind, overkill. How's that? So therefore, if you want to keep renting your little casita for whatever, $1,000 or $1,200 a month long term, or, you know, if you're lucky, a couple weeks every month for the peak tourist season months down there, you're going to have to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on your little casita. Basically, gut it and start over. Kind of cost prohibitive. Oh, and by the way, you have to pay the plan review fee, the inspection fees, the building permit fees, and the certificate of occupancy fees. Huh. And those fees, of course, go to the government, who then hires more people to enforce more fees, rules, and regulations. Kind of like Oregon. Kind of like the federal government, as we'll get to in the economic part of this rat-a-tat-tat. And then we have the poor gal in Queens. Unbelievable. She inherits what is, in New York, a million-dollar home in the Queens. She's trying to sell the home. She goes to the house, and she finds that the front door locks have been replaced, and there's squatters in the property. This just happened in the last 2 weeks, folks. And there's a video on the website. You can read the article, see the video. Not making this up. So she gets into it with the squatters. The police arrive. The police tell her you can't remove the squatters because they have squatters' rights. These people went in and changed the lock on the door to this woman's house. She calls a locksmith. The cops warn her that if you change the lock, we're going to have to arrest you. She changes the lock anyway. The squatters come back. They break the front door in, occupy the home again, and she's there obviously distraught, and the police come, I'm not making this up, folks, and they arrest her for unlawful eviction. Not making this up. You folks who have rental or vacation properties in blue states, the handwriting's on the wall for you folks. I suggest you take preventative measures, as in getting the hell out of there and selling your property. Okay, we still have a lot to cover, and I'm running out of time. Let's get really quickly into the economic psyops, right? This goes right to financial preparedness for you, your family, and your country. And it goes into the psyops, the lies the government is telling you incessantly, day after day, along with mainstream media, about just how great things are. Right? And Joe Biden on TikTok, with TikTok creators telling you how great things are, while Google and other big tech folks block anything and everything that's negative about the economy, which is 90% of the economic news. But let's start real quick. The rat-a-tat-tat within the rat-a-tat-tat. 275,000 net new jobs, according to the government, in February. Well, what about the revision that was like the subheadline of December and January, down 168,000 jobs from the nonsense they fed you then? Oh, and by the way, the government's been hiring 50 to 100,000 people. That's right, 50 to 100,000 people with your tax money, folks, every single month, including 52,000 in February. Do the math on this. Even with the government numbers, it's negative. Not only that, Challenger Gray, you know, big, huge economic study firm. Layoff announcements are higher in the private sector than at any time since 2000, you know, the dot-com bust. Both service and manufacturing jobs are in contraction year over year. The household survey of new jobs, lost jobs, 184,000 jobs lost in February. You know, this is the attack on the middle class from both directions, folks, like we talked about at the beginning of the show. core CPI, 3.8%. That is up year over year. So I guess they have inflation under control, like they're telling you. And PPI, you know, the kind of the core inflation, up 0.1%, not down as they projected. Remember that the Bank Term Lending Program, which kind of bailed out at least some of the regional banks a year ago March, ended March 11th. The ramifications will be coming down the road, folks. And by the way, there's about a 15-month lag time in all the recessions going way back when, from the time the Fed starts raising rates to the time, you know, the big crunch, the nasty stuff comes. 15 months from when the Fed started raising rates in March of 2022 will be July, which is also when the repo, the $2.5 trillion that's been keeping things afloat, is exhausted, all gone. U6 unemployment. This is like people not looking for work, which isn't counted in unemployment, believe it or not, but people who have dropped out of the labor market. U6 is the measurement. That's at 7%, not 3.4%. This is now the 23rd month, February, where leading economic indicators have fallen. Personal and corporate bankruptcies are up 19 months in a row. Think about that. Corporate debt is up 115% from a year ago. 45% of that corporate debt has to refinance in the next 12 months at rates that range from 3 to 7% higher than they're paying now. You know, that's not a really good recipe for jobs or the economy. Not enough time in a one-hour show, folks. Next week, I'm going to bring you more updates on the last 8-week show. Real life, real happenings right now. Election fraud, immigration, and what you can do about those things. Second Amendment, you name it. But right now, let me tell you a little bit about the Trump trials, because it's important. And the article, which was written by a lawyer, which I am not, is on the website under presidential and rat-a-tat-tat. So, down in Georgia, the corruption of Fannie Willis and her lover boyfriend, the prosecutor, who never prosecuted anything else in his life, is kind of winding down and, shall we say, kind of tilting in Trump's favor. A few days ago, Trump's lawyers filed a well-argued 5-page motion for certificate of immediate review of the judge, his name is McAfee, fragrant order, shall we say, you know, odious order, where he removed the prosecutor but let lying Fannie, Fat Fannie, stay on the case. And you know, did you know that McAfee worked for Fannie when she was a DA? Oh, just a little point there. Anyway, the motion asked permission to appeal the judge's ruling immediately. In other words, to kick her off the case. Normally, that's not how it's done. You have to wait till after the trial and after the final verdict, etc. However, in this case, Judge McAfee's order seems to help Trump, because his order removing the prosecutor himself, the lover of Fannie, didn't cure the appearance of impropriety which the judge expressly found in his order. And at the worst, the appeal is the best way to buy some time. And you can tell it might be successful because liberals are jumping up and down at the prospect of the trial being delayed till after 2024. This is the documents case. One of the arguments Trump is making, and it's very powerful, is, hey, if you didn't prosecute Joe Biden for this, you can't prosecute me for this. It's the same deal. So he's using the Constitution as a shield in a class of one. Kind of. Unlike most constitutional arguments, which are about, you know, the entirety of the people, the entirety of the population, or the entirety of the state. And then we have the New York case, which just reeks to high heaven. This judge is, well, he just shouldn't be a judge. And Letitia James, you know, Soros-backed attorney general DA slash, she's just horrible. The whole thing is unconstitutional. The whole thing is illegal. The finding is completely outside the context of reality. Trump has been unable to secure the $464 million appeal bond. And, you know, the liberals are smacking their lips because they want to take his property, starting with Trump Tower. But Trump's New York lawyers filed just a few days ago a 5,000-page appellate reply. The brief was only 29 pages. The other 5,000 pages were affidavits and exhibits, proving that he had tried to get the bond. And once again, Trump's lawyers are being very clever. They're not getting into the weeds of the judge's decision, which was totally wrong. They can appeal that later. But they are attacking the vicious levying of a bond, which is far above what anybody could post. In fact, they had a guy who is one of the head cheeses at Lockton, one of the largest insurance companies in the world, and he testified that nobody, unless you're a Fortune 500 company, with billions in the bank could get a bond of this size, and that the price of the bond, which is usually 1 to 3%, you know, think about that, $15 million just to post the bond, is in itself kind of a punitive damage. So they're arguing that the bond requirement itself is unconstitutional in this case. Very clever. And if the appellate court doesn't go with Trump or doesn't stay the attempt by New York to take the buildings, you know, it's just, I mean, the whole thing is, you talk about the rule of law and the Constitution, but he can fight each and every building attempt to take over in state court. And then if he loses in state court on a particular building or asset, he can throw them in Chapter 11. In other words, Letitia, baby, and this whackball loony left judge who obviously doesn't have a calculator and doesn't know a squat about real estate, and who's misapplied the fraud statutes in New York, they can wait 2 or 3 years to get their clutches on anything if they ever do. Oh, and by the way, excuse me, the Fannie Willis case is about, you know, interfering with elections. Oh, my God. The case I'm about to tell you about, the Florida case, which is the Mar-a-Lago, you know, document raid case, that judge, Eileen Conner, she entered just in the past few days a two-page order. Very interesting. And in it, she asked the prosecution, this is that Joe Smith character, I mean, disgusting even to look at him. She tells the prosecution that these are her proposed jury instructions, two of them. And she invites the prosecution, if they don't like them, to simply rewrite them, but to come to the same point, which is to define the law, define what a personal document is, define what a presidential document is, who decides it, and who gets injured under whatever decision. In other words, she's kind of putting the prosecutors on the spot. And most legal experts, which I am not, agree that this is really a good order for Trump. First of all, it's fully appealable. Secondly, it puts the prosecutor on the spot. And thirdly, it goes to the heart of the matter, which is the fact that A, Joe Biden wasn't prosecuted for the same thing. Therefore, how can this be a breach of the law? And B, what exactly is the law? And who decides what a document is or is not, if not the president? Because if it's not the president, who is it? The Tooth Fairy? And what she's asking them to define is language in the Presidential Records Act, which is kind of ambiguous. So all in all, even though the orders on their face don't seem great for Trump, he really had a pretty good week in these three cases. We'll see what happens in New York. That's a really important case because that strikes at him financially. On the other hand, it doesn't entail jail time, which the other two, no pun intended, trumped up messes do. Which brings me to what might happen in this election. Who knows? But one thing I can tell you, I have it on pretty good sources that RFK Jr. is going to choose as his vice presidential running mate a billionaire high-tech gal who is well-known in the high-tech industry, the Hollywood, the Democratic donor circles, etc. If he does, his campaign, notwithstanding his own money, which is considerable, the Kennedy family, will be fully financed. Not only that, he will have an in into a number of states, particularly in the Northeast, and Robert F. Kennedy, who knows he can't really win the election as a third-party candidate, could be a hell of a spoiler. If he gets somewhere between 11 and 18 electoral votes, and let's assume Biden and Trump are actually the two candidates on the other side, right now we don't even know that, neither candidate, the Republican or the Democratic candidate, will get 270 electoral votes. In other words, the contest will go by edict of the Constitution to the House of Representatives to be decided by a vote of the House. And in that case, once again, according to the Constitution, each state has one vote. Wyoming's vote counts just as much as California's vote. This could get very interesting. The last and only time this happened was in 1807. If you remember my historical story from last week, that was Jefferson versus Burr in the House of Representatives. It took 37 ballots until Jefferson was finally decided to be president by one vote. We're out of time. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Remember, look in the mirror, repeat after me, and repeat it with conviction. I will muster. I will stand. I will not comply. I will never give in. I will never stop fighting. I will join with those in these United States and around the globe who love freedom as I do, and we will win. Oh, yes, we will. Keep the wind at your back. I'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, go to ontherightsideradio.com. Click on Show Archives, and you'll find all of Reed's shows and a terrific array of informative articles, videos, and reference pages. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of On the Right Side Radio with Reed Lance Rosenthal.